We hope this message from Word of Life Church and Pastor Brian Zahn is a blessing to you.
Luke chapter 2, verse 7. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. My Christmas Day sermon is entitled, Christmas Stinks. Now, trust me on this one. You're going to like it. And it's not what you think. Don't misunderstand me. I am absolutely no Scrooge. I love Christmas. I love everything about Christmas. So when I say Christmas stinks, I don't mean Christmas is a humbug, like Ebenezer said before his Christmas Eve conversion. I mean it more literally. I mean that Christmas, the real Christmas, the true Christmas, the first Christmas, Christmas in its real meaning, how to say it, it has an earthy aroma. You know, we've been doing these Christmas Eve services here, I think, for 16 years now. I think 15 or 16 years. And, you know, at some point early on, I think maybe from the very beginning, we decided that we would have live nativity with animals, you know. So we bring in here a donkey and we bring sheep. And best or worst of all, depending on your point of view, is the camels. And we bring those in here every Christmas Eve. And what to say about camels? You know, they're camels. And they have a certain aroma. They have a certain smell. And then they come in here and they don't know how to behave themselves all the time. And, well, anyway, there's just a certain aroma that come with camels and donkeys and sheep that in some way, in my mind now, I have learned to associate with Christmas. And that got me to thinking that when we think about the aromas of Christmas, you know, I say, oh, the smells of Christmas, you know, pine trees and evergreen and peppermint and holly and cookies baking and all of that, that's what we tend to think of when we talk about the smells of Christmas. But what about that first Christmas? That baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn. Whether it was the aroma of that first Christmas, it's not pine trees and peppermint and Christmas-scented potpourri, is it? Now, Jesus was born among mangers. Mangers are feeding troughs. Jesus was born among the animals. It's not a wooden barn or stable. That's really not quite the way you should think about it. It was probably like a cave underneath the inn where they kept providing some shelter for their various animals. And because Bethlehem was overflowing with people, because way off in Rome, a Caesar had said, I want a registration, I want a census. And so everybody is having to go to their ancestral home to register because the Caesar has said so. And there's no room in the inn. And so Mary and Joseph find shelter among the animals in this cave. And that's where Jesus is born. And it doesn't smell like Christmas-scented potpourri. So in a wonderful way, and I mean in a wonderful way, in an earthy way, I say that Christmas stinks. In a wonderful way. I mean, it smells like a manger. It smells like animals. It smells like a barn. It smells like shepherds who have been living in the fields with their sheep for a few weeks now. Yeah, that's what Christmas really smells like, because Emmanuel is found among the real smells of humanity. Not perfumed, not sanitized. Emmanuel is not only found among those real smells, he joins us in that. I hope this won't offend you, but what does Christmas smell like? Well, there's a sense that Christmas might smell like a dirty diaper, because God has had that experience as Emmanuel, God with us in all the earthiness of what it means to be human. And part of what God declares in the incarnation, listen to me, is it's good to be human. It's good to be human. We struggle with it. But in the midst of it, we know that it's good to be human. We make a mistake if we make Christianity too sweet, too sanitized, too perfumed. That's sentimental Christianity. Or worse yet, that is sentimentality as Christianity. And that kind of Christianity is nothing more than a form of fantasy and an escapism. It has no real power to it. Christmas is not about imagined romanticism, a fantasy that is an escape from reality. Christmas is about Emmanuel, God with us, in our humanity, even when it stinks. Come on, sometimes it stinks to be human. But even in that, God is with us. He's not saying, I can't go that far. No, he's with us even in that. Now, what we do here on Christmas Eve, we bring shepherds with their sheep and Mary and Joseph with the donkey and the Magi with their camel. Well, that's a bit of theater that we use to help draw people into the story, hopefully. But it has an interesting origin, this idea of bringing a live nativity into the church. And it goes all the way back to 13th century Italy. In the year 1223, the church in Greccio in Italy asked St. Francis to speak, to give a sermon at their Christmas Eve service. Well, what he did was bring an ox and a donkey and sheep. I don't think he could find a camel, but he brought ox, donkey, and sheep, and he brought them into the church in Greccio. Now, you know, in our modern approach to things, we're very theatrical. It's not all that uncommon for churches to do things like that. But in 13th century Italy, in a medieval Catholic situation, to bring animals and all that animals are and do and smell like and all of that, to bring that into a cathedral, well, that would have shocked the people. It would have been right on the edge of being scandalous. And St. Francis knew exactly what he was doing. He was trying to remind 13th century Christians that Jesus wasn't born in a cathedral. And that, as I was saying a week or two ago, if you're thinking about the incarnation doesn't bring you right up to the edge of offense, you're not thinking deeply enough about it. Because in a radical way, God has joined us in our humanity. And Francis wanted to remind these people that Jesus isn't just found in a church. Sometimes we can get that idea that God in Christ is contained or constrained or sequestered, imprisoned almost, in a church. Now, St. Francis was trying to remind the people of his generation that Christ is not just found in the church, he's often found in the squalor of humanity. Amen. So think about the poor. Think about the sick. Think about the unwelcome immigrant. Think about the prisoner. Is Jesus there? Well, he is so thoroughly there that he identifies himself with those people. So that as we treat them, the poor, the sick, the unwelcome immigrant, and the prisoner, Jesus says, as much as you have done it unto them, you've done it to me. That's how thoroughly Jesus identifies with that kind of humanity. Another way of saying it is that when life stinks, Jesus is still there. He's right there in the midst of it with you because he is Emmanuel. God knows all about the ways that life can stink because he's joined us in it. He's Emmanuel. He's God with us. Not God separate from us. Not God far off from us. Not God infinitely above us. But ever since that birth in Bethlehem and that little baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laid in a manger, ever since that moment, God is now not distant, not separate, not far above, not far off. He is with us. Emmanuel. So that life is sometimes a sweaty, smelly struggle is sanctified by Jesus Christ, who joined us in that. I think my favorite quote about Christmas comes from Frederick Buechner. I don't think there's anybody that can turn a phrase better than Frederick Buechner. And this is what he says about Christmas. Once we have seen him in a stable, we can never be sure where he will appear, or to what lengths he will go, or to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation he will descend in his wild pursuit of men. Once you find him in that stinky manger with sweaty shepherds, not just present, but joining them in all of that, well, you never know where he might appear. You never know to what extent he will go. You don't know to what ludicrous depths of self-humiliation God is willing to go in his wild pursuit of you. And that's beautiful. So we can work this metaphor in terms of smells, but we can also work it in terms of sounds. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright. Round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace. Well, to have silent night in your soul, to have heavenly peace in your heart, doesn't mean that all around you is quiet. We live in a world that most of the time it's not quiet at all. A lot of noise, a lot of chaos, a lot of madness all around us. And yet there is a way, through understanding God in Christ as Emmanuel with us, there is a way to find that heavenly peace in our heart, that silent night in our soul. It means that we can live in quietness and trust even in a noisy and chaotic world. My Russian friend, Gera Alexiev, I've told some stories about him. I've told you his conversion story. He was the heavy metal musician that met Christ in the most interesting way. He recorded a song. Well, it's just him singing. It's just him singing, just kind of into a microphone, just singing Silent Night in Russian. But there's some other sounds that he added to it. You could maybe picture someone in a large apartment building in St. Petersburg or Moscow, surrounded by all the sounds of this world and its rebellion against God, as it were. And yet, he's finding silent night in his soul. Well, better to just show it to you. He recorded the song, but I asked Donald Korthanke of our media staff to this week put together a little video that will help you understand what I think Gary is trying to communicate to us in his version of Silent Night. So let's go ahead and take a look at that.
Тихая ночь, дивная ночь, дремлет все, лишь не спит, в благоговенье святая чета, чудным младенцем полны сердца, радость душе их горит, радость душе их горит. Тихая ночь, дивная ночь, глаз не радуйтесь ныне, родился Христос, мир и спасение всем Он принес, свыше на свет посети, свыше на свет. Тихая ночь, дивная ночь, к небу. небо, о, да откроются наши сердца, и да прославят Его все уста. Он нам Спаситель дал, Он нам Спасителя дал, Он нам Спасителя дал.
Ah, beautiful. Maybe you get the message. Christ joins us in the mad cacophony of this world that He might bring us peace. He joins us in the stink of what it means to be human, that there might be recovered for us a sweetness in what it means to be human. Would you stand with me? I'm going to invite you now to a Christmas feast that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared. I'm going to invite you to come to the table of the Lord, to eat of this bread, drink of this cup on this Christmas day. Secularism is the argument that says there is nothing sacred in the world. The Christian counter argument is, no, you are wrong, because the Word was made flesh. And if the Word of God can become human flesh, then we live in a sacred world. Jesus in Capernaum said, "And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. If you feed on my flesh and drink of my blood, you abide in me and I in you. If you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you will have eternal life and I will raise you up on the last day." And so we're going to come to the table to encounter Jesus Christ, to believe in Him, to draw near to Him, to believe that in the incarnation He gives us eternal life. I want us this morning, before we come to the table, to make the great Christian confession of faith, the Apostles' Creed, the summary of what is the absolute essential part of the Christian faith. I think this is a very good day to do that because our two holiest days are Christmas and Easter. Or I should say our two holiest seasons are Christmas and Easter, incarnation and resurrection, because that right there is at the very bedrock of the Christian faith, the incarnation. The Word made flesh, the resurrection, Jesus Christ raised to life again. As we enter into that story, we become a part of it and begin to experience salvation. So before I pray and we begin to invite you to come to the table of the Lord, if you would, let's confess together our faith. I believe in God.